If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Eight sleeps away from the start of the 2024 NFL regular season. The offseason, Sterling, is over. We're back. Finally.
How exciting is this? I don't know, man. I'm stoked. I'm getting goosebumps. I mean, college football, here. NFL, almost here. Final predictions? Yeah, they're here, baby. They're here.
Yeah, it is time for us to get in our final predictions. This is officially our season preview show. Next week, we do not have a show on Monday because it is a holiday, apparently. And then Wednesday, we'll be back to give out our picks for week one specifically. So this is it, Sterling. It is our season preview show. We'll be going through every single division, giving our thoughts for every single division, going through every single award, giving a final prediction for who's going to win every single award. And then, of course, we will end the show with our Super Bowl prediction. Not only who's going to win the Super Bowl, but who are they going to beat in the Super Bowl? First things first, though, Sterling. Yeah. What do you think is the story of the 2024 NFL regular season? Or at least what do you think the story will be this year?
Well, obviously, the three-peat.
Right.
Something that's never been done in the NFL. NFL, all you old time fans, the NFL era, the Super Bowl era, it's never been done before. So I think that obviously has to be one of the main storylines. I think the Jets, who have been mired in irrelevancy for so long, they got Aaron Rodgers last year. They were excited. Four plays in, it's over. Well, he's back. That team is better. I think if you're the Jets, you're sitting here going, all right, maybe we were a little too over-enthusiastic last year. Injuries can still happen, but I think the Jets, right, I think they're a big storyline. I think to an extent, it's San Fran. Can they get over the hump? Like, San Fran's been dominating the NFC, and I think they dominate the NFC yet again. But can they get over the hump? Can they finally win a Super Bowl? Not get to one, win one. It's been a while. Then I guess it's some of those other. I don't think Detroit really falls in this category anymore, but I'm going to lump them in there anyways. The Detroits, the Green Bay Packers, the Houston Texans, are those up and coming teams? Are they ready to make that next step? They've all shown promise. They've all had glimpses of what they can do. Can they show the consistency to get to where they want to go? I think those are some of the main storylines as we head into the 2024 NFL season.
I'm going to throw in another one. I think this could be the year of the young quarterback. We got a lot of starting quarterbacks in the NFL this year that are young and have potential to be great. CJ Stroud, obviously coming off a historic season as a rookie last year, but then you still have Bryce Young, who was at a historically bad rookie season last year. Can he turn things around? And then you have Bo Nix for the Broncos. We'll see if Drake May gets the nod for the Patriots. Caleb Williams, one of the most highly touted quarterback prospects to come out of the draft in quite some time. Jaden Daniels in Washington, the number two pick. We got young quarterbacks all over the NFL, and I think that's going to make this season extra fascinating. And I think this is kind of the dying breath of a certain generation of quarterbacks. The only one left standing that I can think of is kind of Aaron Rodgers. Everyone else is of his kind of generation, of his age, has retired at this point. So it's kind of, if you look at old quarterbacks, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's one more kick at the can for him, because I think this will be his last season, personally. And I don't know how this season's going to go for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's going to go as well as a lot of people think. So
you have Matthew Stafford, though. You have Kirk Cousins. You have that the non-elite. Well, Matt Stafford's close, because I think Matt Stafford really does have a Hall of Fame case. We don't have to talk about that today by any means, but they weren't generational quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers was. They weren't generational in the way that Peyton Manning, Drew Brees,
right,
those guys were.
Right. I think of those two guys as like the next generation after Rodgers. When I think of Rodgers, I think of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers. Like, I think that group of quarterbacks. And then I think like the Matt Stafford group, the Kirk Cousins group, is like the next kind of group of guys after.
Sure. And then you get, honestly, Mahomes is now one of the older guys, it seems like, in the NFL, and he's not even 29 yet.
Crazy. Yeah. Is Taylor Swift going to be a story again this year, Sterling? Are we rolling that story back every single week?
You know me. If it were up to me, I wouldn't talk about it at all. Nothing against Swifties. Thank you. We appreciate you, and I'm glad you're getting into football, and it's cool. We're happy for you. I'm not a huge Taylor Swift guy. Like, she's fine. She's a great lyricist. It's just not my cup of tea. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Are we going to have Taylor Swift watch every single week, whether or not she shows up to a game?
I don't like it, because let them be their own people. Like, let Travis and Taylor be happy themselves. Why? That's my main thing. I don't care, but I don't care about anything. Like, I'm a nihilist in that way. About like someone's significant other, like, I'm happy if I know you. I'm happy that if we're friends, but I don't care about following someone else's in anything, in any sort of sport, guy or girl. Who cares? That's their personal life. I'm trying to talk ball. Okay, I'm talking ball.
Let's talk ball then. Let's go through every single division, and we'll give our general thoughts for the division and who we think is going to win it. We'll just go in the order that I've written down, starting with the AFC North, probably the most competitive division in football.
Yeah, way to start here.
Yeah, let's jump right into it. Is it the most competitive division? I think so.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say it's the most competitive. This won't shock many people. I think you and I are going to agree on this. That might shock some people, but I'm going Baltimore. I know they've lost so many pieces, so many players, but they're perpetually an organization that drafts well, develops well, identify talent very well. The Browns, I think some of their defensive metrics last year were unsustainable. I think Deshaun Watson is just a bad quarterback. It's been years since he's been good. Years since he's been a good quarterback. I think he's done. I think the talk of not bringing back Joe Flacco, or even the talk of potentially trying to trade Jameis Winston's, because they know they'd have a quarterback controversy, and you can't have that when you have 4+ years left on one of the worst deals, if not the worst deal in NFL history. Can't have that. Mm-hmm. I think the Browns are about a 9-8 team, 10-7 team, Steelers, they'll be around 500. Russell Wilson getting the starting quarterback nod today. Not a massive surprise. I don't know if it's the right decision, but that's the way they're going in Pittsburgh. I think the Bengals are a little overrated. I think I need to see Joe Burrow, what he looks like with the hand. I think that's a serious concern. Can he hold up for a full season? Their defense is fine. I think they have some pieces. Some guys I really, really like, including Trey Hendrickson and the bringing in of Geno Stone. But they weren't looking good early last year with Joe Burrow before the injury.
Right.
Now, he had the calf and all that stuff, so I understand. But no one gets more credit for one game than the Bengals. No one gets more credit than Joe Burrow for beating the Chiefs one time in the playoffs. It's absurd.
Well,
he's a really good quarterback.
I mean, yeah,
really good quarterback.
They made it to the AFC Championship the next year, too. So it was two playoff runs.
Sure. But making it and actually winning a Super Bowl are two different things. I like Burrow. Bengals are a really good team. They're like an 11-6 team, 10-7 team to me. I'm going Ravens 1.
Jalen in the chat says Bengals, Browns, Ravens, Steelers. Wow, Ravens third on the list, which is surprising. The number one overall seed from last year. Yes, finishing third in the division this year. We actually agree about the Bengals. Bengals are a sexy team, a team that a lot of people like, but overall, especially when you look at some of their metrics, like my favorite one that here's the first mention of the 2024 season, net yards per play. Not very impressive for the Bengals. You look at their defensive numbers, not good last year. I think they took a couple small steps in the offseason to improve their defense. Not enough for me to put them above the Ravens. So if you look at a complete picture of a football team, the Ravens have the defense, they have the offense, they have the coach, they have everything they need to succeed. So I'm still putting the Ravens at number one. I'd put the Bengals at number two. The story for me, and you kind of touched on it, Sterling, in the AFC North, specifically the Browns, is their defense. Because I'm still confused how they did what they did last year. At home, they gave up 3.7 yards per play, least in the NFL, fewest in the NFL. On the road, they gave up 5.8 yards per play, which is the seventh or eighth most in the NFL. That's a difference of 2.1 yards per play between home and on the road. How is that possible? I still think they might have been cheating at home.
Trash cans.
I mean, a difference of 2.1 yards per play is insane to me. So I'm keeping a close eye on the Browns this year. Something sketchy going on in Cleveland, and I'm not going to be betting against them when they're playing at home, because if they repeat it like they did last year, no one's going to be able to move the ball against them when they're playing on their home field. 2.1 yards per play. Every time the ball is snapped, 2.1 yard. That's a big chunk of yardage per play for an entire season. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, that's wild. I was going to let you keep going on your little rant there.
Yeah, I got it all.
Cody, Browns have their own Connor Stallions. That's
what I'm saying. They might.
Great pull.
They might. Not like there's no accusations, but I'm looking at the numbers and 2.1 yards per play difference between home and away jumps off the page to me. That's sketchy. That's a lot of yards per snap.
All right, AFC East.
Yeah, let's move on. Whoever comes out of the North will be one of the biggest threats to KC. This is the best division, and all teams could make the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know about the Steelers making the playoffs, though. Arthur Smith is their offensive coordinator this year. Side note really quick, Desmond Ridder got cut by the Cardinals. Did you see that?
Oh, man. He was your dark horse for MVP last year, wasn't he?
No, I don't think I said dark horse MVP. I don't think so. Maybe I did. I don't think so, though. I did have faith in Desmond Ridder, though.
You were in on Desmond. I told you, Ian.
Yeah.
You're dumb.
Yeah, it was bad. That was a homer move. That was, wishful thinking. Yeah. All right, AFC East. Another very competitive division in terms of the top three teams. Obviously, falls off with the last team, the Patriots. Thankfully, might just be the worst team in the NFL this season, which is going to be fun to watch. But you got the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins. I mean, if you look at their betting odds, the Jets actually recently just became the betting favorites to win the AFC East. It was the Bills all offseason. The Jets have recently jumped them. So now it's Jets plus 160, Bills plus 195, Dolphins plus 210. What do you think of the AFC East this year, Sterling?
Well, I think they all have a fatal flaw. I think they could all win. They could all go far in the playoffs. But they all have a flaw that you're like, you can exploit the Dolphins' defense. The Dolphins' defense is really bad. The Bills, it's basically Josh Allen. Josh Allen, Dalton Kincaid, and then rookie wide receiver, Keon Coleman. Matt Milano injured yet again. And then with the Jets, it's mostly just health. It's like, okay, what's their flaw? Well, it's an old folks' home. They got some really good players too. They got some young guys who've already had some injuries in their career. Like on paper, the Jets might be the most talented. But can I roll with them? Can I roll with the Jets and Robert Saleh? I don't know if I can. I like Mike McDaniel and I like the Dolphins' offense a lot. They might be the best offense in football. But that defense is bad, man. It ain't good. And then the Bills, you know my thoughts on Josh Allen. I think he's the second best quarterback in football. They've made the playoffs. They've won a couple games in the playoffs. But they've lost a lot of their big name guys. You go first. You tell me who you think's winning the AFC East.
I'm extremely high on the Dolphins this season. I think the Dolphins win the AFC East, and we'll get to the Dolphins a little bit more later, but I think I'm very high on the Dolphins. I think people are underrating the Dolphins because when they think of the Dolphins, they think of the playoff game in Kansas City, which, yes, was a brutal performance by them. They got to figure out a way to play in the cold or somehow get the number one seed, and then they don't have to play on the road in the playoffs. But most explosive offense in football, and yes, defense, not great, but they did actually make a few good signings on defense that I think especially is going to give them some depth. You got Anthony Walker, Kendall Fuller, Jordan Poyer, Shaq Barrett. Like they made, you know, not like guys are going to jump off the page, but good depth players that's going to improve this defense, I think, quite significantly. I think Mike McDaniel, you know, another year as head coach, he's probably learned some lessons from last season. I think they take a significant step forward. And don't forget, the Dolphins kind of had the AFC East in their grasp last year and then let it slip through their fingers in week 18 against the Bills. So I think the Dolphins take a step forward. I think they win the division. I'm low on the Jets. I think Aaron Rodgers plays poorly or gets hurt. And if they don't have a quarterback, they're screwed, as we saw last year. So I'm taking the Dolphins in the AFC East.
I really want to go Bills. I've been Bills this entire time. I've been Bills up until basically today. I hate doing this because I do think injuries are such a big part, and the Jets are the most injury prone team. It feels like I'm going to go Jets. J-E-T-S, right. Jets. I don't believe in the Dolphins long term. I don't. I think they're a fun team. And maybe since we are just doing regular season, I could say Dolphins. I just don't see them, when the calendar flips, them making any noise. I want to go Bills. I just can't do it. I'm going Jets, and I don't really like it.
All right.
Like I think all three of these teams have such a wide array of outcomes. Like I think all three of these teams, if you told me they went 13-4, I'd say, yeah, I could see that. You told me they went 7-10, I'd say, okay, yeah, I think I could see that too.
I hope the Jets are good so I can go watch like a meaningful football game, because obviously I live in New York. By week 5, the past couple of seasons, every single game suck because it's the Jets and the Giants and they're already out of it. Game last year I went to for the Jets, I went because Taylor Swift was there, so I went on Taylor Swift watch against the Chiefs.
Do I go back to the Bills? Dude, I can't. I'm going back and forth with the Jets and Bills. This is so
you already said Jets. It's locked in.
I said Jets. We'll go with Jets. Lock it in.
Jets 10P kid says it in the chat. Jets D is going to be nasty. Yeah,
their defense is
without a question elite. Top 3 unit in the NFL.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ian is making the same face about Sterling's Dolphins playoff takes that he makes when I crap on a golfer. He's betting. Yes, true. True. I like the Dolphins this year, man. I like the Dolphins a lot. Maybe too much. Jalen Butler is at that Jets Chiefs game too. Yeah, got to see Patrick Mahomes and Taylor Swift. Let's move on to the AFC South. A little bit of an intriguing division. I think we're both kind of have similar thoughts because we've already kind of talked about this division a little bit. In the months leading up to this, Sterling. So why don't you start us off? I think we're on the same page for the AFC South.
The answer is the Texans. They're a damn good team. They're doing everything you're supposed to do when you have a rookie quarterback who's good on, again, that rookie contract. You bring in the veterans, you can pay extra, you can pay for those depth pieces. They're doing a phenomenal job of that. Whether it works out in the next couple of years, we'll see, but they're doing the right thing. That is what you're supposed to do. I'm going Texans. Jacksonville, I think, is almost stuck in mediocrity at this point. They're a fine team. They're a fine team. But I don't think Jacksonville's a team that the Texans need to be worried about in who wins the AFC South. As 10P Kid says, don't sleep on the Colts. It's the Colts. It comes down to Anthony Richardson. He's looked brutal at times. Brutal this year, but we'll see when the games actually matter what happens, because he looked pretty darn good last year. They nearly made the playoffs last year, barring a dropped pass by the running back, a third string running back, right, with Gardner Minshew at the helm. A lot of those pieces are returning. A lot of the good pieces are returning. Michael Pittman Jr. is one of the more underrated wide receivers in football. I don't think the Colts get it, but if you're the Texans, I don't think it's the Jacksonville Jaguars you got to worry about. It's the Colts. And by the way, with the Titans aren't there yet, but they're going to be competitive.
They made another good move there yesterday or today, trading for that linebacker. So
their defense might be pretty salty. I actually wish Mike Vrabel was still there. Because imagine if Vrabel had this defense. He had some of these pieces. It feels like this would be a dream for him. I'm not in on Will Levis. They don't have a lot of weapons offensively. But I think the Titans will be a tough game, even without Derrick Henry this season. They'll probably only win 6 or 7 games, but they'll be tough games to play against.
Jalen Butler says for his AFC South prediction, Texans, Jaguars, Colts, Titans. This is chalk. I think from if you're talking about betting odds, if I were to bet on a team, it'd be Jaguars. I'm just the sports book I'm looking at right now, +270. I actually do have that as my favorite futures bet for the Jaguars. But for this prediction show, we're not talking odds. We're not taking into consideration betting value. It's just straight up our predictions. And I do think the Texans are the team. Do I think they should be as favored as they are? No, but I still think they have the best chance to win this division. I would say one thing that makes me a little nervous is they do have the 7th toughest schedule in the NFL this season based on opponent projected win total. The Colts and the Jaguars both have significantly easier schedules than the Texans, which might come back to haunt them. So, but still, happens. I think they're obviously a very good team last year, and then they had a very good offseason as well. So I'll still go Texans.
And that's a very valid point. When you win, you have a tougher schedule. You play the ones, not the twos, not the threes. You play the ones. And you're not sneaking up on teams anymore. You're no longer the fun, level bunch. Now you are a favorite in a lot of games. Texans have to play that role now. Yeah. I think they do it well because I think the talent's there and they brought in those veterans. But again, something to keep in mind that I do think is a fair point.
AFC West, Chiefs.
Chiefs, this is obviously easy.
We can rip through this pretty quick.
Division, yeah, Chiefs.
Can any other team make a wild card spot? Or even, let me word that a little bit differently. Who finishes second in that division? Is it the Chargers?
I say Raiders, but Raiders I feel like I'm alone on this boat. Betting odds don't say that. A lot of folks will still say Chargers. Mm-hmm. I think the Raiders have a pretty good team. I basically am looking at what Gardner Minshew did with the Colts last year, and I'm saying the Colts are a very similar team to the Raiders team. Gardner's the quarterback, not Aiden O'Connell. With Gardner at the helm, I think they win 9 games. They go 9-8, 8-9, around there. It's probably second most wins in the AFC West.
I do like the Raiders. I still think the Chargers are going to edge them out for second place in the division. I actually think the Broncos might be better than people think as well. But this is the Chiefs division, obviously. Every single year, there's a couple people in NFL media who try to get cute and they say, you know, the Chiefs aren't going to win the division this year. It's going to be someone else. They used to do it with the Patriots all the time. Stop. The Chiefs are going to win. And barring, obviously, a major injury.
Yeah.
If Patrick Mahomes stays healthy and the majority of the starters stay healthy, they're going to win this division.
Agreed.
All right. That's the AFC. Let's move on to the NFC, going back up to the North, NFC North. Both Northern divisions this year, extremely competitive. For the NFC North, it is the Packers, the Lions, the Bears, all potential playoff teams. Obviously, the Lions coming off a great season last year, a couple plays away from going to the Super Bowl. The Vikings, going to be an interesting team this year as well. Certainly the worst of the four teams, but still a scrappy team at times, I think they're going to be. So who do you have winning the NFC North? Is it the Lions again?
Yeah, I'm going Lions. If you know me, I have this affinity for the Lions and what they've been building up there. They have the best offensive line mm-hmm. of any of these groups. And that was kind of my deciding factor, was who's the best team in the trenches? The Lions. The Bears, decent offensive line, great weapons, some solid defensive pieces. Caleb Williams, I got to see in game action. I think the talent's there, but I got to see how he handles NFL action. I didn't have the same questions with CJ Stroud. I got a few with Caleb. The Packers, I think, are a fun team. Fun team. I think people are crowning Jordan Love a little too early. Mm-hmm. I think he went on a really good stretch the second half of the season in the playoffs, taking nothing away. That was phenomenal. But there were some times I'd look at him and I'm going, that's a dangerous ball that guy's throwing. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you don't see more interceptions. I could see Jordan Love throwing a few backbreaking interceptions this upcoming season. I think the Green Bay Packers' weapons are really solid, not elite, They have a lot of really solid wide receivers. I'm going Lions.
I'm going to go Packers, actually. Packers, youngest team in the NFL last year. I don't know if they're technically the youngest team this year as well, but usually young teams will improve on a yearly basis. And I do think the Lions record was a little bit better than how they actually played last season. If you look at net yards per play, I think they're around 11th. I think Packers were 7th. And now I'm just going to double check, but I assume the Lions have the more difficult schedule. They do. Not by a wide margin, though. I actually think the Packers reclaim the NFC North. I think the Lions do get into the playoffs in a wild card spot. I think the Bears, what's going to hurt the Bears is even if Caleb Williams is good, I think it's going to take a couple of weeks or even a month or two for their offense to gel. Because this is the outside of DJ Moore and like their offensive line, their key offensive players are all new to this team. Caleb Williams, a rookie. DeAndre Swift was in Philadelphia last year. They got some guys who need to figure out how to play this offense. Keenan Allen, thank you. Rome Odunze, obviously a rookie as well. They got some guys who got to get used to this offensive system, and that usually takes a little bit of time, especially when it's that many pieces. It's not like it's like one big piece that's been added. It's the entire offense needs to get used to playing with each other, and that might take a month or two, and if it takes a month or two, they're going to be behind the eight ball when it comes to trying to make the playoffs. So I think the Bears are a year away. I will take the Packers to win the NFC North.
Okay. Another disagreement from you and me. Love it.
NFC East, a two-team division. It is the Eagles or the Cowboys, because the Commanders aren't going to compete, I don't think, and the Giants aren't going to compete. Do you agree with at least that?
Yes. I think the Commanders will be a little fun. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. Jaden Daniels was my QB1. Maybe not talent-wise, just in totality. I'm a big Jaden Daniels guy. This is hard because the Cowboys are such a good regular season team. The key is regular season team.
All right. Well, right now we are technically called. We're talking regular season.
But I'm going Eagles still. If they have some injuries to the wide receiver position for the Eagles, it's not going to be good. The addition of Saquon's nice. I know no Jason Kelce. Still a good offensive line overall. And their biggest issue last year was their secondary. Well, where do they invest all this draft capital? In the secondary.
Secondary, yeah.
Yeah, I know they're. I know
that. Brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, I know they're rookies a lot of time. I guess C.J.'s not, but what's it? Tarion Arnold and Cooper DeJean.
No, Arnold's in Detroit. He's
not Detroit.
Isn't he? The Toledo guy.
Yeah. It's Cooper DeJean.
Why am I blanking on his name? Is it Quinyon Mitchell?
Quinyon Mitchell.
And the Iowa guy. Yes. Yeah.
So they've tried to bolster their weakness. Howie Roseman seemingly always wins the offseason awards. And sometimes it's kind of frustrating because you're like, let's see it actually play out in regards to a whole bunch of playoff success. They've been relatively successful overall, but still. I think Howie Roseman did a great job again. I think it's the Eagles.
I agree. We agree on this one. I also think it's the Eagles. I like bringing in Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator. Hopefully that was the issue and the cause behind the implosion last year was their coordinators, because they clean house there, kept Nick Sirianni as head coach, clean house with the coordinators. If that was the issue, the Eagles are going to be back to, you know, being an elite football team. So I still think the Cowboys are going to be good. I think we talked about last week or the week before, Sterling, their win total is 9.5, which we both thought was too low. I think the Cowboys certainly reached double-digit wins. But when we're talking about winning the division, I think it does go to the Eagles. And, of course, there is that trend dating back to, what is it, 2003 was the last time we had a repeat winner in the NFC East, which is a crazy trend. Obviously means, like, nothing, but it's interesting.
For you being such a Eagles are frauds last year. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked you're on the Eagles. And two, I think the Eagles would be a clear favorite if Nick Sirianni wasn't their head coach. Mm. I think Sirianni is a bad head coach.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if he tries to be Dan Campbell. I don't know what he's trying to be. I think he's in over his head, but there's so much talent on this team that even he can't screw it up.
Well, yeah, there is that issue. I think he could screw it up. I mean, if the coordinators weren't the issue, it's possible this team just implodes because of Nick Sirianni again. And if that's the case, the Cowboys win the division. But yeah, last year I did rightfully call them frauds, and they're like 10-1. But that's not because I have a personal issue with the Eagles. I looked at the numbers, and the numbers weren't matching up to the record. They won games they had no business of winning early in the season. I have faith they will play better this season, because 2 years ago when they made it to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, they weren't frauds then. They were extremely good. Every metric put them as a top three team in the NFL. I expect more of that version than what we saw last year. But we'll see. NFC South.
Falcons.
Let's go, baby.
All right. So that was the NFC South. NFC West.
Oh, come on. Who finishes second? Saints or Bucks? Panthers last, right?
Yeah, Panthers last. I've gone back and forth.
I think Dennis Allen's a bad head coach. I'm out on the Saints. I was obviously, as a Falcons fan, I did not like the Saints last year, but heading into the season last year, as an objective mind, I thought the Saints were going to be good. I thought they were good on paper, and they stunk. And I think it's their coaching.
Yeah, they always seem to be better on paper than they play. I'll go Saints second, Bucks third, but I don't have a real real passionate take, because I feel like the Falcons are the clear best team in the NFC South. I think it's by a wide margin. I would hate that.
That would
for a multitude of reasons, but I have to deal with Ian and then also the Bengals. That's a lose-lose.
That's a nightmare.
That's a nightmare scenario for me. I mean, I'd root for the Falcons for you, of course. But yeah, the Bucks and Saints are almost like the same team. They're like the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other right there. I don't know. I'm a Derek Carr fan. Love Derek Carr. Sure. Every time I talk with him, he's just a really good dude. I'll go Saints because of the good dude factor.
I'll go Bucks number two, Saints three, Panthers four. It would be pretty upsetting if the Falcons don't win this division. They have all the pieces they need now. So I've talked about the Falcons enough.
Well, it's almost like the Chiefs, where it's like there's one really bad team, Panthers, Broncos. Mm-hmm. There's two teams that are average at best.
Yeah.
Chargers, Raiders, Bucks, Saints, and then the clear-cut favorite, which is the Falcons and the Chiefs. Yeah, I think if the Falcons were not to win, again, barring a catastrophic injury or something like that, that would have to be an immense disappointment.
And the Falcons, let's not forget, have by far the easiest schedule in the NFL based on opponent win projections. By far. If you look at the graph, it's like teams like this, and then like a huge gap, and then the Falcons in terms of the easy schedule in the NFL. So
if Michael Penix Jr. was the quarterback, I'd probably still take the Falcons.
Yeah. I mean, they had a chance to win the NFC South heading into week 18 last year with Desmond Ridder as a quarterback, who just got cut from the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Clayton Tune beat him out. So Jalen Butler, will Captain Kirk be ready for week one? Apparently, I haven't seen anything otherwise. I believe he's good to go. Mm-hmm. All right, NFC West. Some people are selling their stock in the San Francisco 49ers. Trent Williams contract issue, Brandon Ayuk contract issue. Maybe some turmoil in the locker room because of that. And I've seen some people start to sell a little bit of San Francisco 49ers stock. Where do you stand on the 49ers in the NFC West? Because it is a division filled, there's no terrible teams, but outside of the 49ers, well, I don't know. The Rams could be good.
If they sell, I'm buying. If they're selling, I'm buying.
Yeah.
I'm all in on the 49ers, but I think this NFC West is a really good division, like a sneakily good division. Seahawks, I think, might be the worst of the four, and the Seahawks have a good floor. That's not a knock against the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks might be a 9-8 type of team.
Yep.
I think the Cardinals are the same way. The Cardinals are like the Seahawks, where I think they're almost like an average team, but they're real fun. They're going to be an enjoyable team to watch this year. People forget that the last time Kyler Murray was healthy, they made the playoffs. I don't think Kyler Murray's a great quarterback, but I think he's a pretty darn good one. I think he moves the needle way more than Geno Smith. They're going to be throwing the football a lot. Marvin Harrison Jr. was a great pick, obviously. A great get for them. I think Trey McBride is going to emerge as one of the top five tight ends in football. I don't know how good the Cardinals might end up be record-wise, but they're going to be really fun. And if you told me they ended up going 10-7, I would not be shocked. I really wouldn't. The Rams, on the other hand, are interesting. No Aaron Donald. We'll see the trenches and defensively. Kieran Williams, he's doing kickoffs and running the football a whole bunch, but they did draft Blake Corum. Is Cooper Kupp back? He's healthy, but is he back to being Cooper Kupp, or is he starting that decline? Or how much does it even matter when you have someone like Puka Nacua? Matt Stafford, again, one of the more underrated quarterbacks in football, seemingly perpetually. Tight end wise, they're okay at best. Tyler Higbee's the almost definition at this point in his career of an average tight end. I'm going 49ers, but this will be a really fun division.
Jalen Butler says 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals, which I think is what the odds would indicate as well. Yeah, I'm going to go 49ers as well. I think some of the people selling stock in the 49ers is a little bit of, we've had too much offseason and now we're just coming up with things. Let's just relax. Okay, so that's all the divisions. Let's quickly just recap who we got winning each one. We both have the Ravens taking the AFC North. I have the Dolphins in the AFC East. You have the Jets. We both have the Texans in the AFC South. We both have the Chiefs in the AFC West. NFC North, you have the Lions. I have the Packers. NFC East, we're both on the Eagles. NFC South, we're both on the Falcons. And NFC West, we're both on the 49ers.
We have some disagreement in there. I like it.
All right, let's go through the awards here, and then we'll give our Super Bowl winner and wrap up the show. And by the way, people, stick around, because we have another interview to finish the show off with. Sterling interviewed RG3. So if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you'll hear that as soon as we're done. If you're watching the video, then you can go watch that. That's live on our channel right now. So
that was a super fun interview with RG3, by the way. He's awesome. I'm excited for you guys to listen to that and hear that, because he's very enjoyable to talk with.
Good stuff. All right, NFL MVP. We've done the draft for these awards, but now we can both pick the same guy. No odds. We're not talking betting value. We are just strictly predicting who we think will win these awards, starting with MVP.
Well, we can pick who we want. I'm going Mahomes. I know there might be a little fatigue of Mahomes, if you will. I get that. I think he's putting up some gaudy numbers this year with the receiving core he has. Last year, his receivers were the worst in the NFL. This year, he's got some dudes. I think you'll see Mahomes win it this year.
Do you know there are only three players that have won the MVP over the past six seasons?
Mahomes twice, Lamar,
and Rodgers.
And Rodgers, yeah, because Rodgers won back-to-back.
He's won it twice the last 6 years. There's only been three MVPs in the past six seasons, which is kind of crazy. I'm going to go with, I do love Kirk Cousins as a dark horse. I truly, truly do, but we're not talking betting odds. We're just giving out a prediction. I'm going to go Jalen Hurts.
I could see it.
He's got the legs. He's got the rushing touchdowns. He has a talent at receiver. Let's see him in Kellen Moore offense. I think that'll help him out this year. The Eagles have a chance to be, you know, one of the top teams in the NFC. I'll go Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts at some point in his career is going to win an MVP. I think it might be this year. Jalen asks, if not Mahomes, then who? If he can't pick your boy, who are you taking?
I would almost say Lamar, but it's almost Lamar fatigue too. At some point, it's like, okay, we keep making him the MVP, top player in the NFL, in this top 100. I know playoffs aren't a part of this, but I think it might start bleeding into this. I would almost go Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen has no one on that team, and I wonder if voters take into account if he has a great year, the Bills go 12-5, something along those lines, and they're like, yeah, his best guy was Dalton Kincaid and a rookie Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
I could see Josh Allen putting up insane numbers this year.
Yeah, if the Bills
running
have
the football
a good
wise too.
Yeah, correct, which seems to be generally kind of, you kind of have to be able to run the ball as a quarterback to kind of be in the MVP conversation a little bit, unless you have an unbelievable year through the air. So yeah, Josh Allen certainly has that. So he might just drag the Bills to a 12-5 record and win it that way. Yeah. Offensive player of the year. So basically it's the MVP has turned into the best quarterback award, and offensive player of the year has turned into the best non-quarterback award. So who do you have winning that?
That's a really good call. I'll go semi wild card here. I'll go Garrett Wilson for the Jets.
Whoa. That's wild. Okay. You have Tyreek Hill, Christian McCaffrey, Ja'Marr Chase, yeah. CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and you go Garrett Wilson, offensive player of the year.
Yeah, I told you. I'm going to have some fun with this. I think it's Garrett Wilson. Look at the numbers Garrett Wilson's put up with the dudes throwing him the football. What can he do when he has a competent quarterback throwing him the football?
Yeah, if he's competent. If Aaron Rodgers
I'll go Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson has a better chance than obviously you're making it seem like.
10P kids is Gibbs. As in the Lions running back, the Lions second string running back behind Montgomery. Okay. Interesting. I like Garrett Wilson better than that. All right. If we're getting crazy, I'm going to say Bijan Robinson. How about that? They want to use him like a Christian McCaffrey type of player. That's what the coaches have come out and said in the offseason. Who won offensive player of the year last year? Christian McCaffrey. Bijan Robinson. That's a better pick than Garrett Wilson. I do like Jalen Butler's Saquon Barkley as well. Saquon Barkley, it kind of happened early in the offseason, so we've kind of stopped talking about it, but he's gone from quite literally the worst offensive line to one of the best offensive lines this offseason. So it's fascinating to see what he's going to be able to do. With the Giants, not only a terrible offensive line, but played in an offense where he was the only weapon, so they just stacked the box against him. You can't just stack the box against the Eagles. They'll kill you through the air if you do that.
But you can stack the box because that's this podcast, baby.
Fact. All right, Garrett Wilson and Bijan Robinson. I wasn't gonna go Bijan, but if you're going getting crazy with Garrett Wilson, I'm getting crazy.
Yeah, that's been fun with it.
Offensive rookie of the year is it Caleb Williams? He's by far the betting favorite.
Jaden Daniels.
Okay, he's second on the odds list. I'm gonna go Marvin Harrison.
Okay.
It's been receiver two of the last 3 years, going into a great situation. Not only is Kyler Murray obviously going to be capable of getting him the ball, he's also going to be the clear number one option in the passing game. So I'll go Marvin.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, Jaden Daniels has not a good team, not a good situation by any means. I like the talent of Jaden Daniels, and that's why I'm going with it.
All right. I don't hate it. I think, yeah, it's got to be one of those three guys, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
Defensive rookie of the year. I am going to go with Laiatu Latu. I talked about him there when we did the draft for defensive rookies of the year. I think he's the most talented player. I bet on him to be the first defensive player taken in the draft, and he was. Ton of talent at UCLA, just had that injury at Washington, which made people a little bit nervous of him. But I think as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to be extremely good. And the Colts also have Kwity Paye on the defensive line. So teams aren't going to be able to just double team Laiatu Latu. I think that's going to free some things up. So I will take him to be defensive rookie of the year.
That's a good call. I'm going back and forth with this.
Oh, and Latu has recently become the favorite, actually. It was Dallas Turner, but I'm just... check the updated odds now. Laiatu is now the 4-1 favorite.
Oh, man. I'll go Quinyon Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of between Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, I think...
So I'll go Quinyon.
Yeah, I think Mitchell's more likely to get more playing time.
And the reason is the Eagles defense was so bad. The secondary was so bad last year. I think you'll see a drastic change if he's even competent. And then you'll see him. I mean, rookie cornerbacks, it's defensive player of the year is almost all edge rushers. Defensive rookie of the year is kind of a mix. So I'll go Mitchell.
All right. I like it. Comeback player of the year, which they have now clarified. The definition for that now, it does have to be someone who came off some kind of injury, I believe. Whereas before, like last year, they've given it to players who just are coming off bad seasons or irrelevant seasons. Now I think you have to be coming back off of some type of injury. A lot of potential candidates for this. You got Joe Burrow coming off an injury. You got Kirk Cousins coming off an injury. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, would be the big one. So you got some interesting options for comeback player of the year.
Yeah, you've heard me talk about the Jets. I'll go Rodgers again. I hate that a lot of my bets are hanging on the arm or tendons of a 40-plus-year-old dude, but
yeah.
I'm going Rodgers again. If I've Garrett Wilson, if I've the Jets winning the AFC East, then that means Rodgers is comeback player of the year.
Rodgers is the betting favorite. I hate that pick. I don't think Rodgers is going to have a good year, and I think he might even get hurt again. I will go with my guy, Kirk. obviously.
I think Joe Burrow is a really smart one, too.
Right now, it's Rodgers, the favorite 2-1, Joe Burrow right behind him plus 220, then a bit of a drop-off, then Kirk Cousins 5-1, and then Anthony Richardson plus 750. I would have considered Nick Chubb, except for the fact that now he's going to miss at least 4 weeks. So,
yep. Not great.
Yeah. So it's looking like it's likely going to be Rodgers, Burrow, Cousins, or Richardson. All right, Coach of the Year.
Man, this was hard. This was hard. Might go D'Amico Ryans.
Yep. Good pick.
You know, I thought
the Dan thing with Coach of the Year literally could be anyone.
You're trying to think of, are they having too much hype right now? Yeah, I think I'll go to D'Amico Ryans.
I'll go Raheem Morris. I'm kind of loading up on Falcons, unfortunately, but I do think he is in a good position.
From I think Dan Campbell's a solid choice, by the way. I see Dan Campbell in the chat. It's a smart one.
Yeah. We did miss one that for some reason I did not write in the notes here. Defensive player of the year.
Oh.
I'm going to go TJ Watt. I thought he was a defensive player of the year last year. I'm still confused. We talked about this on the show. I don't know why they gave to Myles Garrett unless I'm missing something. TJ Watt had better stats than in every single area. Tackles, sacks, tackles for a loss, pass deflections, forced fumbles, but they gave it to Myles Garrett. Still confuses me. TJ Watt is the best defensive player in the NFL. Shout out Max Crosby. I think he's going to be really in the mix this year, but I'll say TJ Watt.
Yeah, I'll go Mad Max.
All right, I like it.
I'll go Max Crosby.
Yeah, I like it. You won't hear an argument from me. So there we go. Those are our award predictions. So let's wrap up with this. Who is going to win the Super Bowl? Who do they beat in the Super Bowl? And I'll get your pick, and then I'll get a second pick from you, because you can say what your pick is.
It's the Chiefs. Of course. Chiefs three-peat.
Of course.
Why would I go?
Who do they beat?
It's just hard. I hate going back-to-back, but yeah. I think the Niners are the best team in the NFC. Like I hate doing this because it's not fun. It's not enjoyable, and the odds of it happening are slim. But if you're asking me right now, who do I think the best team in the AFC is, the best team in the NFC is, and who do I think will meet, I think it's the Chiefs, and I think it's the 49ers.
Yeah. Now give me a second prediction other than Chiefs.
Man.
Let's say Patrick Mahomes, week one, God forbid this happens, tears his ACL, he's 0 for the year.
Oh, bleep you, dude. Bleep you.
I'll knock on wood. I don't want it to happen.
Okay.
Football's better with Patrick Mahomes, but I want a pick that's not your Chiefs.
If he's out, then I'd go Ravens.
Okay.
Because that means the Ravens can finally win a playoff game. Yeah. So I'd go Ravens, and then I would switch it up, and I'd go Eagles in the NFC then.
Okay.
Birds on the East Coast.
I like it, the Bird Bowl. Yeah, I think the obvious one is a 49ers-Chiefs rematch. I'm not going to say an obvious one. I'll give out a fun one here. I'm going to say the Dolphins beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. I said I was high on the Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins.
Now I know you're lying. You can't argue about their offense.
Listen, I have a soft spot for teams and athletes who choke in big spots. Sometimes you just need to get there enough times and it eventually is going to work out in your favor. We saw it with Xander Schauffele in golf this year. I think the Cowboys are kind of the Xander Schauffele of the NFL. Knock on the door enough, eventually the door is going to open. I think the Cowboys are still obviously an extremely talented team. I think they obviously get back to the playoffs. You just need a couple things to go your way and you can end up in the Super Bowl. Now, that being said, I still think they lose the Super Bowl. But I think they'll get there. They lose to the Dolphins. Dolphins over Cowboys.
All right. I hate it.
Jalen says, I would love for the Chiefs to three-peat, but I think something will get in the way in a long season. My prediction, Eagles over Bengals. It's tough to three-peat. Some would say it's never been done.
That just means that they're due. The Chiefs are due.
Yeah, maybe. I don't want it to happen. That's not... Give me someone else. Give me someone.
Okay, new. Hear me out. Hear me out. Would you take this, Ian? Would you take this right now?
Okay.
Falcons make the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They make it. Okay, you said yes. But they
lose to the Chiefs now.
And the Chiefs three-peat.
I can't take another championship loss. If I'd rather us miss the playoffs and get the Super Bowl and lose. I can't handle that again. Imagine we get back to the Super Bowl and then blow another 28-3 lead, or it's like a 29-3 lead for some reason this time.
27-3, so you're making progress.
Please don't put me through that again. You don't like my Dolphins Cowboys prediction?
No, I think it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years ago I predicted the Colts to beat the Rams, which was one of my worst predictions.
That was the all-time worst, and then you had Matt Ryan as the MVP.
As the MVP, yeah. That was a tough one.
That was maybe
I think they were like two of the first time five teams. Yeah, yeah.
And one of my first time meeting Ian, I'm like, this is Ian McBetts? Yeah. This is the bet guy?
It's the worst preseason prediction I've ever had. They were like bottom five teams, both.
You ready for Survivor again, Ian? You ready to lose again?
Yes. We will be doing our Survivor competition once again.
Keep your balls on a shelf.
Yeah, I'm going to win this time. And, I mean, I set a pretty high bar with the prize I got for you last year, so.
Yeah, you did.
But also, the prize is determined by how far the winner does go. So, like, even if I, like, if the winner only makes it to week five, the prize isn't going to be that good. You made it to what, week 12 or 14 last year?
I think it was 14.
Yeah.
And I didn't even use the Eagles or Ravens like an idiot.
Yeah. Jalen Butler also does not like my Dolphins Cowboys. It's a gross one, but if it happens, I'm going to look like a genius.
Good luck.
Thank you. All right. That has been our season preview episode of the podcast. We will be back next no show Monday because of Labor Day, I believe, is the holiday. And then we'll be back Wednesday to talk week one of the 2024 NFL season. Sterling, final thoughts.
Mizzou's football season starts tomorrow.
There you go. Who do they have?
Oh, Murray State. They got the Racers. Huge game.
Tough one.
Huge.
All right. Football's back. And Wednesday we're at 5 p.m. Eastern next week?
Yeah.
Is that the permanent time moving forward on Wednesdays?
Yes.
Or is that just next week?
That's the permanent time.
5 p.m. Eastern moving forward. All right. On Wednesdays. And we will be back on Mondays the week after, and that's at 9:30. So the schedule for the season, Mondays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern. Mondays will be a recap plus a preview for Monday Night Football. Wednesdays will be a preview of that week's games. And coming up right now, stick around if you're listening to the audio version of this, because you will hear Sterling's interview with RG3. If you're watching the video, the live stream of this, you can go watch the video version of that interview between Sterling and RG3 right now. Thank you all so much for watching. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give us a like, give us a comment down below of your Super Bowl prediction for this season. And we will talk to you all next week. Football is back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Sterling Holmes of FanSided and Stack in the Box, joined now by Heisman winner, one of the best college quarterbacks of all time, and a damn good football analyst, Robert Griffin III. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing great. Sterling, how you doing, man?
I'm good. And I'm not going to lie, it's weird saying Robert. Like, it's RG3. Like, do your friends call you Robert? Are they still calling you RG3?
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place. The beauty of this is it's my initials, right? So RG3, it's not just some made up nickname. It's not like they're calling me Superman or Batman or something like that. So I've been called RG3 for my entire life. So my friends do call me that sometimes. Most of the time now is like a joke, but they mostly call me RG.
RG, okay. No Bobber, nothing, getting real creative with that. No, none of that.
No, my mom did call me Robbie, you know, term of endearment from your mom, but most people either call me RG. My strength coach in college used to call me Three Stacks because he said I looked like Andre 3000. So, you know, it's been all over the place. And I actually appreciate that because Andre 3000 is a legend. So I take pride in that.
I do want to give a shout out to Snickers, the official chocolate sponsor of the NFL. And they're releasing Satisfortunes, fortune teller readings of Snickers bites taken by team representatives. Can you tell us more about this? I have my little thing right here. So I have my reading, if you will. I'm here in Kansas City, so I have my Chiefs Snickers right here. So yep. I'm looking forward to this. Can you tell us more about this, though?
Yes, you're talking about that bite guide right there. And I also have my Kansas City Chiefs, you know, Snickers bar here as well. I'm going to be honest with you, Sterling. It's really just an excuse to enjoy a phenomenal piece of candy. All right. Snickers is sponsored with the NFL to be able to allow fans to predict what is going to happen with their team this year through that bite guide. And with, you know, partnering with a fortune teller by the name of Chocomancer to make that happen. So that bite guide that you have right there talks about the different aspects of how you piece that together. But instead of getting a fortune cookie from your favorite, you know, Chinese restaurant, just go to the store and buy you some of these delicious Snickers bars and eat them and have a good time predicting your team's future.
Am I being a little superstitious when I'm scared to eat the Chiefs one? Like Panthers, fine. I'll eat the Panthers one, Steelers all day. I don't care. Chiefs one, I'm like, I don't want to be the reason why the Chiefs don't three-peat.
Yes, and that actually might be a reason that people decide to not eat their team bar, right? They want to look at the guide, see how they can possibly manipulate the system as good as they possibly can, at least into the universe out there. So I don't disagree with that, but I don't think you have anything to worry about. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are primed to go out and do something that's never been done in NFL history, and that's pull off the three-peat.
Yeah, where do you view that? Where do you view the Kansas City Chiefs right now? You actually had a chance when you were with the Ravens in 2018. You were filling in, finishing the game for Lamar Jackson. You got to see Mahomes up close in person. One, what was that like for you? And could you tell early on what Mahomes was going to end up becoming?
Well, Sterling, at that point, Mahomes still, I think he had Tyreek Hill at that time when we played, played against them. And his process was different then. Right. He had Travis Kelce. That's the guy that's, you know, working the whole middle of the field. They're on like their own wavelength, running different routes. We saw it in the Super Bowl when they pulled off and we saw it in the big comeback when they pulled off the win against the Bills. But when he had Tyreek Hill, it was a little bit different. There was a little bit of Tyreek's open down there somewhere. Right. I'm going to just throw this bad boy as far as I can. And now that he doesn't have Tyreek, his process has changed so much that he's actually become a better quarterback. Right. He's reading the defenses better. He's getting through his progressions better. He's being OK with taking whatever the defense allows him to have while also still having that special ability that he has to make things happen out of nowhere. So when I watched him at that point, we had the better team, you know, hands down, top to bottom in Baltimore. We just didn't have Patrick Mahomes. And even though we had them down, I think it was a play. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it was fourth down. He threw one up over the middle and Tyreek Hill like caught it on his helmet or something. And it was like, how did he do that? How did he pull that off? That's what you constantly see, especially with like the behind the back pass we saw in the preseason from Mahomes. He's just grown so much. And it's always been a joy to watch him play. But to see him grow from Texas Tech to what he is now is pretty amazing.
I will say I have some sources that told me you were recruited to Stanford to run the Wildcat and split time with Andrew Luck. So there is some validity to that. what's your side of the story here?
Okay, so the validity to the story is that I was recruited to Stanford to compete with Andrew Luck. I was not recruited there to run the Wildcat or necessarily split time. I don't know if you remember, but back then there were a lot of quarterbacks that were going to the same schools. I can't remember if I think it was Colt McCoy and Jevin Snead at Texas. So Coach Harbaugh had recruited me and Andrew. Andrew was already committed to the coach before Coach Harbaugh got there. But we all know Andrew was a great player and highly touted. I was a highly ranked player as well, but I couldn't get into Stanford early. I was an early graduate. So the only reason that I didn't go to Stanford to compete and, in my opinion, win the job against Andrew Luck was I couldn't get in January. And because I was an early graduate, they were going to have me go, you know, basically be able to come to practice, but just hang out in Palo Alto for 6 months. And I just couldn't do that. So it all worked out for the best, right? Andrew goes to Stanford, turns the program around, goes to the NFL, has a great career. I go to Baylor. We win the Heisman, go to the NFL, tear the league up in year one. And, you know, our lives are changed forever. So kind of a weird parallel, but it all worked out for the best.
That's crazy. That would have been I've been wild to watch you and Andrew. That'd be pretty damn fun. Let's talk about your rookie season, because that was it was unheard of. You were setting records seemingly every single week. What happened there? Obviously, the injuries happened. Yep. Would you have done anything different to try and save your body? Would you have maybe not come back, rehabbed longer, if you will, maybe not try to rush back? Anything you'd have done differently?
Yeah, this is kind of like a saddest fortune, you know, we're talking about with Snickers. It's, yeah, when I look back on it, hindsight's 2020, right? And I've said this before, but the bottom line was in 2012, I was so focused on doing everything I possibly could to do everything for that team to be as successful as it could. That means putting your body on the line. That means being the leader and being out there with your teammates, going through that grind, or as we call it, the battle of a season. And I don't think that I was wrong in that, but I do believe the next year I shouldn't have played. I wasn't healthy. I wasn't fully back to what I needed to be. And it's my advice to all players now when I watch them play. It's no one's going to look at a year when you come back quickly from an injury and you're not playing at the same level, or you're not feeling the same as you were the previous year, or you know you're not at your peak performance. They're not going to look at that and say, oh, well, he was 7 months from an injury. They're going to look at it and they're going to see the film and they're going to look at the stats. And oftentimes, you know this in media, more times than not, people are trying to aim their opinions at the far right or the far left. And in football, it's getting smarter. Don't get me wrong. The fan is getting smarter, but there's still fans that only look at box scores. And when they see the numbers, they don't see the receiving core, the offensive line, whether you were injured or not, you know. They don't look at all those little minute details. They just look at the results. And because of that, I feel like for me looking back, I just shouldn't have played in 2013, fully got healthy and been prepared to go in 2014. But there's no guarantees of any of that stuff working out. So I don't look back on my time in the NFL or those decisions and say, man, what if? I look at it and say, this is why I'm in the position I am now. Because I have all those life experiences and I can help the players that are coming behind me to make sure they avoid them, just like I did with Lamar Jackson when I was in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point of sometimes the player needs to almost say, hey, no, I'm not right. Because you're right. The fan, a lot of times the media, they don't take into account the injury, the recovery time. I'm a Mizzou alum. I'm a Mizzou fan. Brady Cook, for example, right? He had a bad shoulder injury. Yeah. And we were sitting here heading into last year. We're like, is he the right guy for the job? He struggled down the stretch. You didn't take into account what he was playing through, the fact that he was trying to put the program on his back, which it's admirable when you look back on it now. And then he got healthy and we saw what he did last season. And there were still some fans who were hating early on because they didn't understand what he went through. Yeah. And so I do think sometimes fans are getting smarter, but we're so used to fantasy football. We're so used to Madden or even just the right now mentality. Yes. It's very hard to wait, very hard to be patient. Yeah. That's very good.
And to that point, I just want to give a shout out to Drink here, you know, Eli Drinkwitz. I called a game last year from Missouri against LSU. And your point about Brady Cook is 100% correct.
I was at that game. Oh, that's why I didn't hear you. I was at the game. That was bad.
Right. But it wasn't the greatest experience for Mizzou. I won't lie. But the season that you guys were able to put together, was in large part because Drink believed in Brady and he understood what he was going through. And I think as a coach, I have a ton of respect for him because it's your job as the coach to have your players back. And I think he did that for Brady, and then he was able to have the year they did. And now they're going to go into this year and they're going to potentially be better than they were last year. And they're going to be more confident knowing that they can not only hang in the SEC, but they can win in the SEC in big time games. So it's not just the player. All players want to play, man. I can't go back to 2012, 13, 14 or any time in my NFL career and be like, yeah, I just didn't want to play. No, we all want to play. But it's the coach's job and the staff's job to put the players in the best position to be successful. And that's the beauty of football. It's such a team sport that it takes everybody to be successful.
Yeah. I love you on social media. You're not afraid to go, whether it's a Trey Lance take, which, by the way, I do agree with. Yeah. I was a huge Trey Lance supporter. I think the upside is there. You don't give up on a guy who's that young, especially if he's going to be your backup. You try and grow and develop that. But the croissant picture. Come on.
Listen, I'm in Paris. Okay, what do you do in Paris? You eat croissants. I am not responsible for what the internet does with a picture. I simply said, when in Paris, you must croissant. And me and my wife are eating the croissant, having a good time. And yeah, the internet took it and ran with it. And like they say, the internet always wins. So, you know, it was a fun moment, fun experience. And we were there for the Olympics and just having a good time, enjoying all the festivities. You got to interview 6 Olympians, 2 gold medalists, a bronze medalist. And now Hunter Woodhull, who's Tara Davis Woodhull's husband, is competing in the Paralympics as well. We were able to sit down and have a conversation with him. So really enjoyed that process. And then your point about the Trey Lance observation, everyone says take, and I get it. It's what the media world has turned into. But for me, it is my opinion, and it's an educated opinion. And when I've been in NFL locker rooms and I've been in those meetings and talked to NFL execs, Trey Lance is a guy that they won't give up on. He's younger than Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. Right. Yeah. So when you see him make that run, people will say, oh, well, then put him at running back. It's like, no, that's not the point. It's the same reason you don't give up on Justin Fields. Right. He's there in Pittsburgh. He has that dynamic ability. That ability is really sought after in today's NFL. And then him going out there and throwing the interceptions, I can go and show you every interception and what he did wrong. But that's part of his growing process. How many quarterbacks do you know can do what Trey Lance did on that run? Not very many. But no. I can show you other quarterbacks who can't do what Trey Lance did and can still go out there and throw 5 picks. So that's why teams won't give up on them. And to me, it's like, I'm going to make sure I'm educated and confident in everything that I say. And I do my research, and I know that that's what NFL execs are thinking.
I want to give finally one last shout out for you and your partnership with Snickers, because shout out Snickers. This is my lunch today. This right here, this Chief Snickers bar. I'm going to put my rational side to the side right here, because right. I'm going to have to just do it. But how can fans get in on the fun? And finally, what is next for RG3?
Yeah, I mean, I can answer those in reverse. You know, for me right now, being a father, being a husband, being the best I can be at that has always been the goal, no matter what I've done, playing career or in the media. So we're going to have a lot of fun. I have a podcast called Out of Pocket with RG3 that we're going to really focus in on. And, you know, when it comes to TV, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that, you know, at some point we'll be back, and we'll be back in a big fashion and have a lot of fun doing it. I'm going to miss college football, you know, being able to call games for college football this year. I don't know what that might entail. I can't predict the future. Maybe I am back on this year calling college football games. But, you know, I'm very thankful for, you know, to have a partner like Snickers, because, you know, this in the industry or just in life, a lot of people want to be around you when things are going great, but it's the people and the brands that stick by your side when it might be a little bit of a tough time. And getting laid off is not unique to me or Sam Ponder or anyone else. It's just part of life. And there's a lot of people out there who are having to deal with things that are much more difficult than I am right now. So I'm thankful for Snickers and this program, you know, as you said, as the official chocolate sponsor of the NFL, for them to come up with unique ways to engage the fans, give them a chance to, you know, feel like they're a part of it, right? You always hear fans say, we won last week, we did this, because fan is short for fanatic. We all know that the fans aren't actually out there throwing and catching passes, but they do impact the game in a big way with how loud they can be and how much they support their team. So that's why doing this partnership with Snickers and them allowing the fans to even get a little bit more into it, right? Because I like to say I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious, right? So these status fortunes allow me to kind of satisfy that portion of my own thought process, and the fans can do the same.
Robert Griffin III, RG3, really appreciate it, man.
No, I appreciate that, brother. And we'll talk soon. God bless.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.